And welcome back to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers. We don't have our bestie Hope with us today, but we have another special guest, Kath Richards, who is an author. You just had, I believe, your debut novel, correct?
Yes.
Come out this last September of Love Most Fatal. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I want you to know that I'm going to have you tell our audience why they should read your book. But from my personal point of view, I just finished this book this week. And as soon as I got done, I was like, I want her on the podcast, please. Because this book is a bisexual, triggered everything I want. It was, first of all, a nerdy guy, which is my type, and a woman who's really scary, which is also my type. Exactly. So will you please tell our audience, just give them a little blurb on why they should read this book?
Yeah, A Love Most Fatal is a mafia rom-com. So it takes all of my favorite things about mafia romance novels, which is like the crime and the action and the spicy love story. And we wanted to flip it around and have a female mob boss falling in love with her godson's goofy math teacher, who is very sensitive and does not belong in this life. So that's kind of the main premise of the book. And it ended up being something that's really fun and full of heart and silliness.
Yeah, I think I saw a blurb of this on TikTok a few months ago, and I put it on my TBR, and then I saw it was on Kindle Unlimited, and I was like, wonderful, say less. And so when I was kind of stalking my Kindle full of books that I knew I wanted, I had on my list, I was like, oh, well, first of all, the cover art, just a moment for the cover. I am a sucker for, you know, I don't mind the cartoon cover art, but this is like so cute, like so beautifully cute. I don't know how to describe it. How did you get an artist for that?
I'm obsessed with the cover. I have it close to me at all times, but I actually just got the art for book two, and like everyone's gonna die.
I'm so excited.
So in terms of finding an artist, I had someone in mind to make the cover for me, and I asked them like, who's a good artist? Can you refer some? And they sent me a list of like 10 different artists on Instagram. And Sophie is the name of the artist. Their Instagram is dextrose.png, I think. And I just saw their page and was like in love with the art. And I saw the vision, and they saw the vision right away. And they were just so fun to work with. So the cover turned out like better than I could have ever expected. And it was based on the cover of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I like the back to back and
perfect.
I just like had this vision in my mind of like, it is a rom-com. It's very much kind of draws from these early 2000s rom-com movies. And I just had that vision and they made it happen for me.
I don't want to spoil anything about this book. We'll get into some of the details here in a second, but I don't want to spoil anything if people want to read it. But you also the plot, if you like an early 2000s, like rom-com-y, this has like the wittiness of a rom-com of that time. It also has like the kooky scenarios that would put people into these situations. One thing I loved was like the plot just kept giving. Like, that's why I was like, nom, 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 nom. Like, it was, everything kept happening. Like, I was like, okay, you know, I think in romance books now, and this is not a complaint necessarily, but like, you know, I know what the plot is going to be within the first 30%, and I know how it's going to roll out. But this was like, okay, you know, they go on a date. He doesn't know who she is. And then she has to take him under her protection. And then he's helping her find a husband. And then like, it was like, and then I'm like, I can't put this thing down. It was so insane. So like, tell me a little bit about the writing process for some of this.
Yeah, this book started in my mind. I was like reading mafia romance nonstop. I'll get into these, you know, genre of these. Often it's like monster romance. Like, I will read only monster romance for 2 months.
Hey, that's our bread and butter. So
yeah, I'm obsessed. I was like looking through your page, like, yes.
Yeah.
So I was in a mafia romance kick. So the darker, the better. The more like unhinged, the better. If it like wouldn't make a grown grandmother cry, I didn't want to read it. So
yes.
I was
Perfect criteria, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, I was reading these books. It was Christmas. So it was like over Christmas break. I was like reading the nonstop on my Kindle. And I was kind of a little bit sick of just these men who are like always domineering. I would listen to audiobooks with my husband and I always say they have like devil voice.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like three octaves too low.
Yes. And like growling at every turn and they're like alpha hole, right? That's their archetype. And I love seeing them go soft. That's like my favorite thing. But I could not get out of my head the idea of like goofball man and mafia woman, really strong woman. And so this started as a, like, in my mind, a little bit of a joke. Like I kept telling my husband, and what if there was a woman, and what if she killed, and what, like, it was yeah. like all, you know, like a prompt. And then I was like, well, maybe I should just write it. It's January. I might as well just sit and write this book. And it started off as like a Christmas novel. I was like, it should probably take place over Christmas. And we called like A Mafia for Christmas, which makes no sense. I've gone through like 15 titles. And then it just evolves at every turn. So I didn't have a really clear plot outline other than like math teacher moves in to mafia boss house. And then he moved in and I was like, what now? Oh, he should probably help her find a husband. Right. So it, like, as you were describing the plot evolving, that's like exactly how it evolved for me. So every, my writing is very not structured. I wish it was, in terms of being able to come up with a whole detailed outline. It's like really not that way. So it was a lot of discovery.
I think what was really funny is I find pleasure in any sort of book being a very, very high critical thinker, even when it's the most fun, light, fluffy book. I'm like, I need to know what the, you know, what the twist is going to be. And so when they're searching for this bad guy, I'm not going to reveal who it is, but I had my suspicions and I was right. I was so proud of myself. And, but at points I was like, maybe it's not them. Who knows? I was like, you know what? This other person's looking really fishy. And so anyway, and that there, that's a whole plot line of your book is like, you know, who is doing these weird things to her business. And so I don't know, I can't rave about this book enough. I went to book club last night with a bunch of stay-at-home, very conservative moms. And I was like, yeah, that's not my genre typically, but it's a friend of a friend. So I will say that all I had to say was, she's the mafia boss, he's a middle school math teacher, and things go awry. And then people were adding it to their little good reads. I was like, say less. That's all you need. But I think you're spot on, right? There's this genre of mafia boss that's so fun, but it's also like, it's a hard guy. And it's, and even I think Vanessa's character is unique because even though she can be harsh, she doesn't want to be. Like, that's kind of the soft spot of her, is like, she doesn't do it without justice. Now, her sister, Mary.
Oh my gosh.
Her book's next. And I almost was like, hey, look, I will sit next to you while you write the book if I can just read along. Tell me, have you started writing it? Are you writing it? What's the process currently? Because you just announced it and the beautiful art.
Yes. So I've already finished a first draft of A Love Most Brutal. That's book two. And it'll come out this September, I believe.
Wonderful.
So I'm in the editing process. Draft is done. Mary was one of my very favorite characters while writing the book. She is like the first book. She is so unhinged in like every way, right? She's the mafia enforcer for the family, right? The family, we have three sisters. So if you haven't read the book, we have the mafia boss is one of the sisters. Her older sister is like the lawyer for the family. And then we have the enforcer younger sister. And she, the younger sister, is just so, she has no filter, it really seems. And she cares only about her family. And if people want to mess with them, like, she will kill them. You know, like, she's not afraid to like really mess people up. So anyway, writing her story has been really fun to see, you know, how other people saw her in the first book versus like who she actually is, and like, where is she actually very soft inside it versus her like really hard shell of an exterior.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, her, that's even a role reversal, right? Like, I mean, we typically see like the handyman of the mafia being a really hard exterior guy that has some trauma that he never got over with his mom or something, you know? And so you're like, okay, let's do it with a woman who barely speaks. You know, that's the other thing is she like, at one point she has like two sentences she tells to Nate, and Nate's like, I think that's the most I've ever heard her speak. And it's just so funny because she also is like a mystery herself. She's like sneaking out late at night. No one knows where she like arrives at the scene of a crime, and she's like wearing going out clothes. Like I imagine myself in college in like 2012, like with, you know, knee high boots. And like,
you're right. That, like, you're so right.
This is exactly what she's wearing. You can't tell me otherwise. Now her partner, can we talk about her partner?
Yes,
if we don't want to. I mean, like, here's the thing. You know that it's going to be Vanessa and Nate in the first book. Yeah. It's a romance. It's a happily ever after. But there is another character who kind of comes along as a potential husband option. But he's going to be the lead of her book. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, his name is Maxim, and he is a Russian mob boss in the city. So the Morellis are Italian, and we have these kind of four crime families that are kind of running the city, and they're all, for the most part, run by like young people who have taken over much too soon, right, is the truth, right? And so looking at this idea of like younger, what would our generation of like mafiosos, how would they run the mafia, right? But Maxim is, a Russian mob boss, and he is very tender at his core. He's massive and hot and 38. So he's a little bit older than Mary, like by 12 years. And
he's a little bit older, just a smidge.
A little older than her. And he seems really scary and really strong, but he's also, when you meet him in the first book, there's like this innate tenderness about him that cannot be, you know, you can't miss it, right? And he's just a little bit different, I think, than, again, the stereotype of this mafia man who will do anything, right? And is evil or dark, you know, and he is morally gray, but I think he's really, really conflicted about it. So anyway, he is also, I don't know how much of a spoiler this is. He is also quite enamored by the youngest Morelli sister in the first book. And that is kind of obvious. And it's really interesting to kind of explore why that is and how long he has been so enamored.
One of my favorite things is when authors don't play dumb. And I appreciate that you did not play dumb. Thank you for not playing dumb with me. Because at one scene, the sister being Vanessa goes to Maxim and says, are you in love with my sister? Like, just because that would be, I mean, if they are considering a strategic marriage, that's something they need to talk about. Like, hey, and they are somebody who want to be faithful to each other. They really, you talk a lot about the stereotype of like cheating on people and like having open marriages and stuff like that. But she's somebody that's like, no, I need somebody to be my partner. And I appreciate that you were like, no, we need to address this. Like, clearly there's something, there's some chemistry between them. And he essentially says, I'm just fascinated by her. And like, Vanessa's kind of like, well, be unfascinated, please, because like, you're going to be in a house with her. I think I really appreciated that scene because it was true to those characters. Maxim fascinated me because he has some tormented past with his dad doing some shady things in the city. Will we get more of explanation of what kind of a ruler his dad was in that transition?
Yes. You know, his dad was true evil mafia. I like the worst of the worst, the kind of stereotype you would see in a movie where the mafia is the bad guy. Right. His dad was kind of ruled the city with an iron fist and was really cruel and was cruel to his children. And, you know, Maxim taking over a lot of his work has been trying to undo some of that while also kind of maintaining his place. So you will definitely see kind of the trauma associated with, you know, being raised by such a monster and fearing how much of that monster is within you, right? How much has, you know, been passed down through this like nurture. And that's something Maxim will wrestle with the whole book, really, and has to come to terms with, is like, I'm not the monster that my father was, and, you know, or am I, right? That's kind of his main, I think, concern.
And when he's with somebody like Mary, who is completely ruthless, literally will rip the balls off of a man at the dinner table. You know, it's kind of like, how is she going to compliment that? I'm so excited to see. I want to go back to the first book, though, and talk about, without spoilers, because I really want the audience to read it. But without spoilers, what was one of your favorite scenes to write between any of the characters?
So many. Okay. This book was like a blast to write. It was just so fun to write because I love shenanigans and I love putting in shenanigans. But what I love most is like tender heart and like slowing down into this moment of like sweet peace and like, oh, these two might be in love with each other. Right. That's like something I just love. So my favorite scene comes probably halfway through the book. Nate is very reticent to open up to Vanessa once he learns that she's a crime boss, right? He learns this and he's like, I hate this and I hate you. And, but begrudgingly, they like start kind of getting to know each other more. And he's obviously falling in love with her. And they have this kind of gentle companionship of living in a house together and working together. And she's got these aforementioned niece and nephew, they're twins. And the kids come over to hang out while their parents are at a date night or something. And the kids are sick. They suddenly are puking everywhere. And it's like, there's Nate and Vanessa are there and it's the two kids and there's no one else in the house. And they each take a kid and they're just like helping them through this like absolute hour of vomiting. And they're kind of like such a good tender team. They get the kids sorted. And there's this like really quiet moment where they're sitting together just talking. And Vanessa suddenly opens up about how she feels like she's not, you know, she'll never be a good mother. And that sort of scene was really fun for me to write and felt like a turning point, not only in the book, but also for these characters.
But I think it's so honest because especially as somebody who's older and has a lot of friends who have children, I'm an auntie and I'm like, you know, like, how am I going to be as a mom? And then like, especially given her setting as, you know, this mob boss. And I think what's an interesting, I hope that it is addressed in future books because the epilogue hinted, but I want to know, at one point she says that like her niece and nephew are too innocent to take over, right? She's like, I want to keep them innocent. Like my kids, I'm going to teach them. And it's like, it's so easy when you talk in the abstract, but like in the reality, do you think you'll be able to, I think she'll be a protective mom. I think she's going to be like, no, you don't need to know about that. No, like that's my prediction of your characters. Let me tell you how I think you're going to write your characters. But no, I just think it's a really honest moment. I loved that scene because it was also so not glamorous in this rom-com, right? Of like two kids just puking their guts out. So tell a little bit about the spicy scenes. We need to get into it because how'd you write it? Did you tell your parents you can't read this? Like, are you like, I need more smut on the page next book? What's the vibe?
Yeah, I was, you know, of course anxious about people I know reading this and like see it like, oh, you think about sex and you're a sexual creature, like what? Yeah. That was like no, I don't, not me. So it was very daunting to me. But when I was drafting, I would just tell myself like, they need to have sex and it's gonna be awesome, so I'm just gonna write this like no one is ever gonna read it. And I wrote much of the book that way. Actually, I was like, I can be as balls to the wall as I want because no one is ever going to read this, even though I did believe, like, I believed that people would one day. So, you know, it's a slow burn because of the back and forth between these two, and they have this like undeniable chemistry. So when they finally do have sex for the first time, I wanted it to be like, of course, as exciting and awesome as it is, but like also very emotional and kind of intense and like, you know, kind of pack a punch. So that first scene in the kitchen when this is like, I'm like trying not to do spoilers, but
they're going to have sex. You just don't know when it's going to happen. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to have sex. And at some point they're going to be in her kitchen.
Yes. So,
just like the lead up and kind of the back and forth and they're falling for each other, but they're, you know, there's so many reasons not to be together. And then this breaking point, right? Moment of like, I cannot resist you anymore, and I will not, right? That was, that decision was, like, just so fun to write. And of course, the sex is, to me, it's, like, fun to write. It's fun to read. I'm, like, such a smut girly myself, so I, like, and I've written fan fiction for years. So
that is the foundation of a good writer, is to do fanfic at some point. I think what's the greatest about sex scenes, and this is as somebody who's been now reading so much smut for so long, like, I'm pretty harsh judge of, like, don't take the character out of the sex scene. Like, don't, just because he's the guy, don't make him the most powerful, like, being, like, this guy, Nate, is a soft boy, honey boy. Like, I, your cat's like, hold on, I've got things to say about this. Yeah. But he's such a soft boy. And yes, he has a few dominant traits in the bedroom, but he's not like, he's not alpha male in the bedroom either. He's like, no, I'll give you a few more orgasms. Like, it's more of like a little, like, I'm going to do this for my own pleasure too, to do it. It's not of like a huge dominant role. And one of my favorite lines was like, he refers to her as like Miss Morelli. And like, it's like almost like a little bad teacher moment. And I was like, okay, say less.
Say less. He is a teacher, of course.
Yes. And so I really appreciate when authors will like keep that character's intentions in that moment. And so, yeah, I was like, I can't even wait to see what happens between Mary and Maxim. I'm like, oh God, they're going to be such a fucking wreck.
No, you're so right. You're so right. And it's like, you asked, like, will book two have probably more sex? Yes.
Wonderful. Say less.
You know, like, premise of book two is an arranged marriage, and like, they need to get married to make a baby. Like, he needs an heir, is the truth. So anyway, lots tangled up in that. But my parents did read this book, and my whole family read it. They couldn't read it, and they all liked it well enough. And I think they all were like, we've had sex before, like, we know what sex is. So they were all for it. And I just keep telling myself and others, like, if there was too much sex in book one, hopefully they don't pick up book two. Like, there we go. Like, hopefully they're just like, shoot off forever. So
yeah. Well, what I found funny about Nate's character was also like, the man tried to have resolve so many times where he was like, I'm gonna stand my ground. I'm not gonna put up with this. And then he'd get in front of her and be like, I'm in love with you. Like, he was like,
yeah, he tried. He tried.
Yeah. He was like, I have absolutely no defense against this woman. Okay. Here's my $1 million question of the interview. Will we get a Leo book?
Yes, we will.
Okay, because you hinted. And if I understand correctly, it will be a male. Yes. Okay. Yeah. This is audio medium. So I'm like, okay, I need to verbalize what she's saying.
I'm just frantically nodding. Yeah. Yes. Leo is the cousin of the Morellis, and he lives in kind of, they have this house, and he lives in like the guest house just outside, and they are always together. He's kind of a sidekick of the family in a way, and basically his own Morelli sibling. But yeah, we see him like pining and yearning kind of in this book, and we don't see who he's yearning after, but we do hear about it. And in the second book, we get to meet that character that he is yearning after and pining after, and kind of see like, what is the magic behind this person that Leo has been pining after for so long.
Well, at one point Nate's like, I guess it's kind of like a, like Romeo and Juliet situation. And he's like, yeah, I guess kind of like, so that family, I can't wait to dive into their background with the Morellis too, because clearly it's not going to be a clear cut. I mean, just even the homosexual of it all is like, oh my gosh, like, what in that environment, even you talk very blatantly about her being a woman in this book, you know, Vanessa being a woman and people not taking her seriously. But so we need to talk about the social constructs of, you know, Leo being in love with a guy and what that would mean for the family as well. I am so excited. Would we ever get a prequel book for Willa?
My husband asks for this. I'm serious. Like, once a month, like, he's like, I think that on your writing schedule, you should write a prequel novella for Willa, who is the oldest sister, and her husband, Sean. So definitely not like out of the realm of possibility. Sometimes I say like, I would do it if it was a novella, but it could be a whole book. And another thing my husband always asks for is a prequel for their mother and their father. Which I'm like less inclined to do at this time. I'm maybe more inclined to dig into the stories of the children who are at this point, you know, teenagers, but at some point will grow up. So
yeah, multi-generation. I'm in love with that. I also read Rena Kent. And so I'm like,
yes,
she does that to a T. And I'm like, just keep feeding us. You know what? I'm a sucker that if you start, yeah, if you start introducing characters, I'm just going to keep rolling with them. And I'm going to be like, oh, well, I've known them for four books, you know, like, let's go. So I also, I know you are a Swiftie. So
yes,
can you give each of your couples a Taylor Swift song that they would be?
Oh my gosh. Okay. This is like getting serious. This
is a
serious question. I'm like, I got to pull up the playlists here. I have playlists for all of my books and let's just see. Most of the playlist is Taylor Swift, to be truthful, but I would say for Nate and Vanessa, we have The Archer, which goes down like eventually to New Year's Day. Well, then I had like The Archer, Peace, New Year's Day.
You know what? Peace. Large. Excellent choice. Excellent choice for this book. Okay. Okay. Now for Maxim and Mary.
You'll have to break these pauses.
No, it's okay. No, it's adding to the suspense. And maybe it'll be a spoiler, who knows, for you to tell us.
I do believe that, I'm like, we need pining, we need yearning. I think we need the Tortured Poets Department. Let's just see here.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, I don't have an answer on the top of my head.
No.
As a Swiftie adjacent, though, Sabrina Carpenter, who I am obsessed with as well. She, on her like deluxe album for Short and Sweet, released a song called Couldn't Make It Any Harder. That's like, I couldn't make it any harder for you to love me. That is Mary Morelli too.
That's perfect. What would you do for Leo and his mystery man? I guess we can pull away from the Taylor Swift if you need to.
If I need to, which I don't think I need to. I think that much of the book might be like illicit affairs, the yearning, drama, pining of illicit affairs. But man, do they love each other so much. Might have a little bit of You're Losing Me in there. And because these two have been in love for quite some time. And then, of course, we would end on a triumphant happy note because they'll be together forever.
Wonderful. We need a happy ending. Okay, here, I have a couple more questions about your characters. Which of your characters do you think you would realistically date?
Okay, good question.
And no offense to your husband at all, but not trying to discredit your whole ass marriage, but
yeah, whole marriage. No, please. Nate was like, so first of all, he is hot. He's I'd say like many times, like he's very hot in his math teacher way.
Yeah, the group of moms talks conscious. About him.
Yeah, he's environmentally conscious. He's got a Prius. He is good with kids.
He's got a senior dog.
He's got a senior dog he's obsessed with. He loves that damn dog. Like he is kind of perfect spouse material, definitely. I would also, Willa is like the older sister. She's a lawyer. She's like so hot and smart and proficient and would run our house like the Navy, and we would have the best, you know, parties ever, I think.
Yeah.
She's probably the best host ever. So I would love to, and she'd probably take care of me.
Like she would probably dress you too, as we know.
She would dress me and I would like look really good all the time. I'd have like a beautiful blowout all the time. And like I could be a stay-at-home writer because she's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just believe that those two might be it for me.
Which of your characters do you think you'd realistically be friends with?
I think maybe I think I could crack the shell of Mary through enough prodding and shenanigans.
Yes.
Potentially, but that would be a tough nut to crack. So on the way there, Leo is like, so.
Oh yeah. Leo's a catch-all. So like
he's
that's
catch-all. Yeah. He's like hot. He's big. He's good at cooking. He's nice. He's funny.
He bakes bread. You guys, artisan bread, you know, It's great. So I know you are at the beginning of your writing career here, but like, what's a genre you would like to dive into eventually?
Oh my gosh, so many. Romance is, I went to grad school for creative writing, and the whole time I was there, I was just defending the romance genre as a whole, right? And like all the sub facets and like the different subgenres. And it's like my favorite thing. And I just have this pure love for all of these different romance subgenres. So ones I would love to dive into. I've already written previously that is not published, like a vampire novel. Love vampires. I think they're like so fun.
Yes.
I love hockey. Like as a person, I love hockey. Would write a sports romance for sure. I just worry I would get too into the weeds of sports. Like
yes, it takes a lot
about the sports. Like I would, people would be like, enough with the sports. Let's go.
Make them have sex.
Yeah, make them have sex, please, in the locker room. No. Anyone can go in there. So anyway, I think you know sports romance is fun to be paranormal. I would love to write a monster romance. I like love monster romance. I think it's so fun. And I don't know, name any subgenre. I'd probably be like, yeah.
Well, I think obviously romance can be paired with like every single genre. Cause you could have, depending on how heavy the romance storyline is, you could pair it with literally any, you know, one that you want. If you want to have a mystery with some romance, if you want to have a thriller with some romance, if you want to have historical fiction with some, like everything can get paired with romance. So,
and it should.
Yes. Yes. Are you ready if I do a rapid fire question round with you before we wrap up?
Am I ready? I'm ready.
Okay.
Let me take a sip with my.
Yes. Yeah. Clear your throat. Do what you need. All right. What are you currently reading?
Sorry. Damn. I'm reading. It's called The Orc's Rage. I think it's by Lyon Riley.
Say less. We will put it on our list. What is your most anticipated read that's going to come out this year?
Oh my gosh. Shadowed Obsession by Evelyn Lee.
Wonderful.
Stalker romance? I'm obsessed.
Great. Monster hockey or just hockey romance?
Oh, I misspoke. It's a stalker, mafia romance.
Oh, I completely misheard. That's a whole different vibe, but I love it either way.
I'm like, say more about that.
Yeah. What is an instant buy author for you? Who is an instant buy author?
Allie Hazelwood. I will read anything by her.
Soak it up.
And I will buy it all.
Yeah. Yes. What is your go-to writing snack?
Unsalted almonds. My friends roast me relentlessly for this. Once my therapist told me, like, you should be eating more almonds because it'll give you energy. And I really took that to heart and I eat them all the time.
As somebody who has a vendetta against almonds, I also would roast you for that. So I just think the texture is weird. It's too chalky for me, but personal opinion. So what is your reading goal this year?
I think 90 books is what I put this year. 90 books.
Awesome. What is a genre that you read a lot outside of romance? You kind of have already answered this, but what is a genre you like outside of romance?
I love... Sorry, that was not rapid fire.
Yeah.
I like horror.
Horror, okay.
Sometimes outside of romance or short stories or poems.
Nice. And what app do you keep track of your books with?
That is a secret I will never tell. Just kidding, it's StoryGraph, but you can never find me.
No, I love StoryGraph specifically for the Buddy Read feature. It's one of my favorite. Also, it's impossible to find people on that app, so I don't even know.
Which is what I like. I'm like, yeah. I don't want...
I don't even know if they could find you.
I'm like, what is in my books app sometimes is between me and God.
Yeah.
I'm like, no one needs to know.
No, I have the Kindle tracking feature on for Goodreads turned off because I'm like, you don't need to know everything. Okay.
Your friend from high school, your friend's mom from high school does not need to know.
No, and especially when I read books for the podcast, I don't want people to see it on my Goodreads and then be like, oh, I know what she's going to do for the podcast now. And also, like, again, I have those conservative moms on my, like, Goodreads, and I do not need them to be like,
you don't want them to know?
Why are you doing mating? Yeah, why are you doing Mating with the Mallet or Mating with the Malice? No, Mating with the Mantis, which didn't include any humans in the sex scene.
Literally,
so.
open their minds. Open their minds.
It's really my God-given vision to help them see more smut in this world. No, okay, one final plug to our audience. What do you want to tell them? What should they look out for? Where can they find you before we say goodbye?
A Love Most Fatal is already out. It's on Kindle Unlimited, as you said. And A Love Most Brutal comes out this year. I also have audiobooks of both books coming out this year, which is...
Oh my God.
I'm
ecstatic.
Like the people they cast as Nate and Vanessa, they like, I died. So anyway, the A Love Most Fatal audiobook comes out July 7th or July 8th, 7-8. Is that right? Yeah.
Okay. Sure. I'll say yes to anything you tell me.
And A Love Most Brutal will come out later this year. And if you haven't, if you aren't leaving reviews for indie authors, make sure you do that. It is like worth its weight in gold, and indie authors appreciate it. And also support indie bookstores and request your favorite books at your indie bookstores near you.
Wonderful. Kath, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
It was so fun. I could like sit and gab with you forever.
I'm like, I know. I think we're best friends. Bye-bye.